Welcome to the Confidence and Communication Podcast. I'm your life coach, Jessica Dumas. I'm a professional speaker and coach who empowers women everywhere to use their voice to take up space and change the world. My goal is to help you speak with clarity and confidence while giving you practical guidance and tools by sharing real life experiences of overcoming. So turn up the volume and grab a pen. You're going to want to write this down. Jessica Dumas Coaching and Training and the Confidence and Communication Podcast is overflowing with appreciation to our first podcast sponsor, The Johnston Group, Inc. The Johnston Group provides employee benefits to more than 30,000 businesses across Canada. Thank you so much for supporting my vision and investing in the podcast. Please accept my extreme gratitude, which will help get the message of self-love, healing, and growth out to a greater audience. So today I have a guest with me. Her name is Melissa Walterson, and she's currently a member of Nishewak Cree Nation. Did I say that right?
Nisichawasi Cree Nation.
It's way off. Nisichawasi Cree Nation. She's working on a transfer to Pasqua First Nation.
Yes.
Did I say that one right?
Yes.
Melissa grew up in Lake Frances, Manitoba. She's lived in Winnipeg for the last 25 years. Her career is in insurance industry, which began in 1998, which I was having a son at that time. So she's licensed in life and accident and sickness in Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, and currently working on her license for the Yukon. She has previously served a variety of roles at TP Insurance Partners since 2018. A whole bunch of roles there. Outside of work, you can find Melissa indulging in retail therapy with her daughters and getting together with her friends and making history. So welcome. How are you?
I am very good. Very good now.
Good, good. I'm so happy to have you on here. So I invited you to share your story on my podcast after you shared a Facebook post. And so your Facebook post was talking about how you were raised in the Mormon church. And I'm going to read some of it. And then okay. I'm going to invite you to tell me how you've gone from here to changing history.
Okay.
But your post said, "It never felt right to me. I stopped going when I was a teenager. I attended many different denominations after that, but none of them resonated with me. To me, going to church was a complete waste of time. I started participating in small smudging ceremonies. In May 2022, I participated in my first pipe ceremony. I received my spirit name and colors. And later that month, Creator sent me someone who taught me about our traditional ways, about spirituality, about prayer, offering tobacco, about our medicines." And so maybe I won't read the whole thing, but what I will say to people who are listening is this is going to be an emotional conversation. When I sent Melissa a message, I was just like, holy smokes, like reading that post alone was just like, wow, like there's so much to this story. I think we're going to talk a lot about culture, identity, perseverance. And I'm so grateful for you to, you know, not just sharing with me, but this is something that you just are. This is part of your pursuit of who you are in life. And that's incredible. So thank you. Yeah. Like, what is this making history thing?
You know what? I had no idea that was the post that you gravitated to. And I am like so honored because I post a lot of garbage up on my Facebook. but once in a while, I do post things that touch my heart and that I feel like I need to share. And when I joined my Sundance family, that was very emotional for me. I cried before I even went in, because I thought I wasn't going to make it out, fasting from food and water for days and just having our traditional medicines to get us through really helped me. And I came out of there crying, just like I went in crying. There were so many supports there and just telling me that we are going to get through. There were so many individuals that had to leave because they couldn't make it. They were heat stroke, dehydrated. And I told myself that I wasn't going to be the one that was going to be dragged out of there. I was going to make it. And I danced my heart out. And I just get emotional talking about it because it is so life-changing. It's just incredible for somebody who came from a place where I came from to have that kind of emotional connection to Creator. It's wonderful. Coming from where I came from, I grew up with colonizers. Like when I was young, I didn't know why I didn't fit in. I went to a school that was predominantly white. I didn't have a bum. I had dark skin. And I remember as a kid trying to rub this beautiful dark skin off because I'm like, why am I not like the other kids? Like my hair is dark and thick. I just knew that something was off. But I was so young, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, why do I have a tan? Like, why is my skin so dark? Right. And
Right.
it was
Yeah.
only until my mom was like, hey, like you are different. Like when I started asking questions and my mom was like, yeah, we took you in when you were a baby and we've raised you and we want you to know that you do have family out there. And the lateral violence that I experienced growing up was so, I don't know, it really brought me down. In order to protect myself growing up, I used to tell people that I was Spanish because I received less racial slurs when I told people that I was Spanish, which is absolutely horrible. It's something that I had to do to protect myself. Essentially, that's what I had to do. And I was fine with it. And now when I see Spanish people, I'm like, oh my God, they're just as beautiful as me. Smart people. And it's been an interesting 46 years. I just turned 46 on, was it Tuesday?
Great, happy birthday.
Thank you. So it's been a journey. And when you talk about like the making history, that is something that I didn't even expect I was going to do. I went to the Special Chiefs Assembly in 2019. I started working with TP in 2018. I got licensed. I was previously licensed before, and that's a whole other topic. I'll go back to that later. But this was the second time around that I had to go get licensed because I felt that there was a lot of work to do. I'm really passionate about my people. I'm really passionate to help First Nation organizations with their employees to get them like their health benefits. And because non-insured health benefits these days, they do not cover a lot of things. And every year they cut back. And every year we have to kind of tender the benefits in order to get results or fulfill the obligations that non-insured health benefits doesn't do anymore, right? It's always been my passion to like help people. That's what I did. So I started at TP Insurance Partners in 2018 and I got licensed. I went to school in Toronto, attended Seneca College in the Faculty of Finance. Then I went to the Special Chiefs Assembly. So my colleague and I are sitting in the restaurant and having breakfast. We go to leave and there's all these chiefs everywhere, right? And I was just like, oh, this is amazing. I absolutely love it. And I was walking by and all these chiefs are sitting in the hallway. They've got all these name tags, and I'm like looking at each of these name tags as I walk by. And then I notice the chief that's sitting there that has a name tag from Pasqua First Nation. So I say to my colleague, I'm like, oh my gosh, that guy's from Pasqua First Nation. I need to meet him. And it's like, yes, I'll for sure introduce you. So we walk up to Chief Pigan, and I said, oh my God, I'm so excited to meet you. My name is Melissa Walterson, and I think my father is from your First Nation. And so he's like, well, what is your father's name? And I said, his name is Anthony Canapace. He was so happy. He's like, Anthony Canapace, crazy man. He was my best friend as a kid. And I was like, what? That's amazing. And he's like, I knew as soon as you smiled that you were Anthony's daughter. Ever since that day, Chief Pagan and I have just got so close, and he just tells me things about my father, and it's pretty exciting. So anyway, during that conversation, I asked him, I said, okay, so do I have brothers and sisters? Can you give me their contact information so I can have a conversation with them? And he says, yes, you do, but it's a sad story. You've lost most of your brothers and sisters. They've passed on already. And so he's like, but I have a phone number for your sister, and I think you should probably give her a call. And so right away, I was just like, okay, I got my sister's phone number here on my phone, and I'm just gonna go
Wow.
ahead and give her a call. And I gave her a call, and it was interesting. It was very,
What did
very,
you say?
I don't even remember. I'm trying to think of what I said. You can probably tell me, but I was just like, hey, my name is Melissa Walterson. I think I'm your sister. And that's where the
Wow.
conversation went from there to fast forward to now. We talk every day. She's such a good support to me. She changed my life. I mean, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be as successful in my life. So I owe a lot. I owe a lot to her. So if you
That's incredible. It's so beautiful. It's so touching. So for listeners, why didn't you know your sister?
So when I was born, like I said, I was adopted. It was a de facto adoption, I think is the correct name for it. There was no paper signed. And my mother lived in Nestitchwassee Cree Nation. My father lived in Pasqua or wherever he lived. I don't know where he lived. So I was never in touch with my biological siblings ever. So that's why, I mean, if it wasn't for me being adopted, and actually Karen was in and out of foster care too her whole life. And I can't speak for Karen, but she had a very, very rough life. And if it wasn't for us being adopted out, we probably would have been raised together. But
Unbelievable. Yeah. So separated, grew up without each other. So you were adopted at birth? Yeah. So you didn't even know that she existed.
Not until 2019.
Wow. I have one sister who I think you know, Leanne. Polio is her last name now. And yeah, like I cannot even comprehend, first of all, not knowing that you have family. Like just that must have been something that once you learned that you were adopted, when did you ever start thinking, like, I wonder if I have siblings?
I actually didn't think about it really. I mean, my father's side of the family, I was so embarrassed to be Indigenous. I didn't even look. It's sad because maybe if I would have been proud of who I was, maybe I would have did this in my 20s.
Yeah, who knows? So you call your sister and then like how was that conversation? What happened next?
Okay, so we started talking right after the new year in 2020, January. She just randomly calls me up and she's like, "Hey, sis, I wonder if you would do something for me." I'm like, "Yeah, what? What's going on? Tell me, what do you need, you know?" Well, she says, "I'm involved in this child welfare class action lawsuit." And I was like, "Oh, interesting. Tell me about it." She says, "Well, you know, I was removed. Went in and out of foster homes. I was adopted, lived on the street. All this stuff." And she said, "I joined this lawsuit on child welfare and I represent the removed child class." And so she's like, "We are looking for somebody to represent the family of the removed children. And I can't think of anybody better than you to represent the family class." And I was just like, "Okay, I'll do
Wow,
it." Not
that
having
was
any
easy.
idea what I was getting myself into.
Right.
Fast forward to last October. It was pretty crazy, like having
Pretty
to,
significant.
pretty significant. Yes. Going to the Supreme Court of Canada was definitely a game changer. The judge approved our final settlement agreement. So $43.4 billion for
Wow.
hundreds of thousands of children and their families to benefit from is pretty significant. And when I agreed to join this lawsuit, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. No idea. But here we are today. It's settled. Money will start rolling out to the children the first quarter of this year. So anytime now, it's pretty amazing.
So how will that get to families?
So there is updates on AFN website. So you just have to go on the AFN website. I'll send it to you. There's an application process. We made it so there would not be any re-traumatization. So they will be pre-filled out. All they have to do is sign it and it's good to go. So each of the 300,000 children and their families will get $40,000 each, which is not much in the grand scheme of things, but it's a start to reconciliation and it'll maybe give them a down payment for a house or further their education or buy a vehicle, pay down their bills if they have bills. So it will be good.
But yeah, it's definitely incredible. It's really incredible and huge, like that number. Also, the awareness and the recognition for Canada, we didn't do good. And we hear you, and here's how we're going to try to repair it or start repairing it, hopefully.
Yeah, and then there's the Bill C-92, which I'm working on through TP Insurance Partners, and there's a program that we've developed through Legacy Bows Group, and people need to know in Canada the true history.
Right.
I never learned about that, and when I went to school, I had no idea. We were taught in school that, the settlers did so much for our people and so much for Canada. They didn't tell us about like how they raped our women, how they starved our children in Indian residential schools. They didn't tell us that they gave our people smallpox to try and kill us off.
Right.
Amazing how in all of Canada, we're only 5% of the population.
Right. Yeah, there's so much of the history that Canadians don't know. And I think there's a misunderstanding that non-Indigenous Canadians think that we as Indigenous people just automatically know this history. And so there's a huge weight put on Indigenous people in order to educate. And I mean, I know that that's an opportunity for Indigenous people to educate, and I believe that they should be paid really well to do that work. But it also goes to show why one of the things that you said earlier was you were ashamed and embarrassed to be Indigenous. You said that you were Mexican, or sorry, Spanish. No, what did you
Yes,
say?
Spanish.
Spanish.
Just anything to get away from like the indigenous aspect, I didn't want to be
Right.
indigenous.
Yeah. No, there was definitely times in my life too where I'm, just whatever, in a space somewhere, just wishing I was someone else. This is Canada's doing, right? So putting us, Indigenous women, in a position where we automatically have low self-esteem. We automatically wish that we were someone else. We wish that we could pass for someone else. And really leaves us lost when it comes to our identity. Where do we fit in? I look like the people who are the, the worst statistics in the country. I don't want to be a part of that, but yet we are. And of course, now we're seeing this great path of people coming to more pride, our own reconciliation to our own culture and stuff like that. But that takes work, and that takes determination in seeking who you are. And so, how did you find that for yourself? How did you find like your identity? In your bio, it says that you tried different denominations growing up. So, what was that path like for you?
I was lost, completely 100% lost. I went to the Mormon church, and like I said in that post, like I didn't feel like I was part of, I didn't like the atmosphere. I didn't like the whole I'm better than you kind of mentality. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend the religion, but this is my personal opinion. When you walk into a Mormon church, I feel like I'm not as good as them because I don't pay 10% of my tithing. Or, you go to church and you get your sins forgiven, and then the next day you're beating your wife, or you're drinking, or you're doing this, or you're doing that. And I don't know. It just did not resonate with me. I tried Catholicism. I went and got baptized when I was in my early 20s, and the same there. Like I went because I thought I needed spirituality in my life, and I tried that, and I tried, I don't know, there's this Victoria Church down the way. I tried that. I tried the Grand Memorial Church. I tried, you name it. I went to so many different churches to find my way, and I just couldn't get fulfilled. It just
Interesting. Interesting that it was churches, because that's what you see on the streets, right? Is that why you were like, I must need a church somewhere? Is that why you think you were trying churches?
I guess that's because I was raised like, oh, it's religion, religion, religion.
Right. Yeah.
Not culture, culture, culture.
Right. Yeah. When I was young, I mean, I grew up with my birth family, lots of challenges there. But my family didn't go to church. They weren't cultural. They're like, it was just huge vacancy. And then when I was a young adult, one of my good friends at the time, actually, she started going to church, and she kept inviting me over and over again. So finally I would go, like probably after months and months of her asking me to go, I would always try to make up excuses. And so I did start to go, and I went for a little while, because that's when I realized I'm missing something. I didn't know what it was. That was my experience at church as well, was I don't fit in here. I don't feel like I'm good enough to be here. I felt like I needed to aspire to be like the other people in the room. That was the feeling that I got. And in fact, when I stopped going to church was because of an interaction that I had with the head pastor at the church when my brother was killed by the police in 2005. And I went up to get prayer, as they invite you to come up for prayer. And so I went up to him and my heart was broken. My brother was just killed. And I wanted someone to console me, pray for me, do what you're going to do. And I said, I don't remember the words, but I said, like, that was my brother that was killed by the police. And like, I'm hurting or whatever. I don't know what I said. And he pretty much said to me, we can't have anything to do with that. And he put his hands up. And I never went back to that church again because I was like, I didn't ask you to do anything. And I was just like, this is bullshit. Every struggle that I had had with fitting in that church, that was like, you know, the culmination of it. That was like, fuck this shit. I'm out of here. This is bullshit. Was there anything within the church that sort of just kicked you out, or that you were like, I'm giving up on this and seeking elsewhere? Or what was that phase out
for,
like?
For me, it was just the fact that I'm not as good as everybody else that was going to church.
Yeah.
Kind of felt like an outcast. I'm not good enough. I go partying on the weekends with my friends. I'm not good enough to be around these people. I don't know. I was young and just didn't feel right to me. I felt that a lot of the people in church are hypocrites. And if I'm going to be a hypocrite, I'm not going to church because I'm not going to pretend I'm something I'm not. Right.
Well, you know what? There was something that I read and I can't remember where, but I used to teach Indigenous awareness. I did that for 5 years. So I'd read like so many books, and there was somewhere someone wrote, as an Indigenous person being indoctrinated, they had started studying the Bible and recognizing how the Indigenous person with the Bible, who was new to the Bible, I'm a better Christian than these people that have brought me the Bible. And they're exactly what you're saying. Like, they're not even following the word of God. They're not even like, they're not good people. Look at all the bad that they're doing. And that really was like, you know, just really interesting for me to know that I'm not the only one that thought that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that you said the same thing, like nothing against the people. There's lots of good people everywhere, but you know, there's also a lot of shit people. Yeah.
True.
In Canada.
Yeah.
So for identity, what would you say, and how would you describe your, like your search for identity? Was that something that you'd ever thought of, you know, those words, or what did you feel like you were seeking?
Well, I was lost up until I found my people, until I really gave it a shot and started going to powwows. I was just like, you know what, I'm going to go to this powwow. I heard that there's a powwow over here and powwow over there. And just hearing the drums beat for the first time. And it just like touched my heart. I was just like, oh my God, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is it. And going to the traditional powwow up in the Sitchawassee Cree Nation is not competitive. It's all about like prayer and like, oh my gosh, it's just amazing. I was shell-shocked when I found this. And this is the way for me. This is it. And all of that stuff, that's me. That's my path. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I found it.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like a lot of women that I talk to through my coaching and through all the speaking and presenting that I do everywhere, that Indigenous women and even some non-Indigenous women, like people are so lost in their identity. And I remember one of the talks that I did, and I think it was 2021, maybe the summer of 2021 in Wewiscapo. And after I did a talk, one of the women quoted me by saying, healing is a lifestyle. And I didn't realize that was something that I had said, but ever since she had quoted me, I was like, ooh, I've been quoted. But second of all, I'm like, you know what? Like, healing is a lifestyle. And when you're looking, when you recognize I'm lost, that's a hard thing for many people to do because we're so stuck in survival, in trauma. So when you can like lift your head up enough to see like, wow, like I'm lost, I need something. And I feel like a lot of my work is helping others sort of like, here are some pieces. I might not have all the pieces that you're looking for, but you need to keep trying something. And it seems like you looking for the different denominations, like you were looking for something. And then you found that in culture, and that must have been so rewarding for you. How did that change your life?
Okay, my adopted mother and I were going around to all these different churches. It was just my mom and I, because I was like, I don't like the Mormon church, mom. You need to get away from that. It's not good. Let's try this one. Let's try that one. We finally stayed around. We hung out with the Catholics for a while, but she was the reason I was trying all these different things. Yeah, I just wanted to do something with her. My mom and my dad, when I was born, my mom was 49, my dad was 51. So my mom passed away in 2019. She was 91 years old. She was the reason why I was trying to find my way, because I think both of us were lost. My mom was kind of, I wouldn't say the black sheep, but I think she needed to find her way just as much as me. And she was old at this point. She was in her 80s, and I was taking her around to all these different churches and trying to figure things out. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because when my mom passed away, I never wanted to make her feel like I wanted to find my people and my culture, because I felt that she did so much for me in my life that I didn't want her to feel like how she did it, how she raised me, was not good enough. So when she passed away in 2019, she started going downhill in 2018. That's when I joined TP Insurance Partners, because I felt that they are Indigenous owned. I can start learning about my culture, start meeting my people. She didn't like the idea of me moving away from Life Benefit Solutions. She hated that idea. She's like, "You've been there for so long. Why are you moving? You know you've got a secure position where you are." I'm like, "But mom, you don't even realize what they've done to me over the last 20 years at this organization. I was a broker. When I left, I was a data entry clerk." And I'm like, "I want to do better for myself. And so I'm going to join this TP Insurance Partners." And I did. And I still kind of felt like, oh my God, I'm not listening to my mom. I felt like I needed to. I felt like I needed to. So when it comes to finding my way in my culture, getting away from religion, it's when I joined TP Insurance Partners. It's when I went to my first assembly, First Nations Special Chiefs Assembly. That's when I really was like, oh my gosh, this is my people. This is where I'm supposed to be. That's when, in 2018, is when I started my spiritual journey. And it's been amazing. It's changed my life. I don't know if you know anything about Sundance or any of our ceremonies, but my Sundance sister, Kyra Wilson, it was funny how she did it. She approached me, it would be 2 years ago in June, and she's like, "Hey, do you want to go to a Sundance?" "Sure, I'll go to a Sundance." Way back in the day, my friend, he took me to a Sundance, but I was still white. I still wanted to do as my mom says and not go into my culture, not have anything to do with my culture, because I'm not a traitor, right? I'm not a traitor. I'm not gonna do that because of my mom, because of the respect I have for her. So I did go to a Sundance. I wasn't interested at all. And this was like many, many years ago. And then Kyra Wilson, she says, "Hey, I want you to come and check out a Sundance with me." I was like, "Okay, sure." This was 2 years ago in June. So we went out there and booked a hotel room, and I didn't realize, I had no idea. But she's like, "Do you want to do Sundance with me next year?" And I was like, "Sure, okay." Like, I just had like a little sample of Sundance. I went for a day, slept. Well, I didn't realize that I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And yes. So she asked me, she was like, "Do you want to join me in Sundance?" And I said, "Yeah." I didn't know what was involved. Like, she asked me, she says, "This is Sundance. Do you want to do it with me?" I said, "Yes." And then I didn't hear from her again. Like, she never mentioned anything about Sundance until the week before the Sundance that I didn't last year. So she's like, "Oh, Sundance is coming up. You need to get prepared." I said, "What do I need to prepare?" Well, she says, "You need a bivy sack, you need rubber boots, you need blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Why do I need all this stuff?" "Well, because we're going to be sleeping outside? What? What did I get myself into?" And she's like, "Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine." "Well, how am I going to be fine? I'm sleeping outside. What else do I have to do?" "Oh," so she says, "Well, we fast from food and water, and we dance. We dance and we." "Oh, sounds good." Well, no, it didn't sound good. It sounded worse. But it's been amazing. So Sundance is all you do is you dance and you pray. They bring around your medicines and you smudge and you do whatever you need to do, and you just dance and pray from sunup to sundown. So Sundance is very powerful. You put all of your intention into praying to Creator. You put your tobacco up into the nest, and they take that nest up, and it's just an unreal experience. It's surreal.
While you're doing all of this, you're raising your kids, you're putting a smile on your face, you're working, you're committing time and energy to this national class action lawsuit. You're incredible.
So at Sundance, I prayed for a few things. So one was I wanted my children to have the best education, the best education. The other thing that I prayed for was for me to go back to school. So the first thing that happened for me was I went to a conference. Where was the conference? I go to conferences all over Canada. So this one conference that I went to, Simon Fraser University was there, and they had this MBA backdrop. Hey, this is interesting. I'd like to know a bit more about this MBA. So I took a pamphlet. When I get home, lo and behold, a professor from the Simon Fraser University calls me out of the blue. And I never spoke to a person. I didn't give them any of the information. But she is one of my friends on Facebook. And she called me up and she's like, hey, you know, out of the blue, I don't hear from her very often. And this is one of the times that really creeped me out because she was like, Melissa, I think you should take your MBA. And I'm like, Candace,
Oh.
I can't take my MBA. How am I supposed to get in? She's like, Melissa, you have enough experience in your career that you would for sure get in into university. And I was like, what? This is crazy. So we had about a half an hour conversation about me going back to
Wow.
school.
Yeah.
So that's one of them. And then
Amazing.
for my girls, my daughter is high 90s. Her lowest mark is in the low 80s, and that's in math. But I know where she gets that from. She gets that from me. I'm not very good at math. I'm not good. I admit it. But when I was living at my girlfriend's place, Donna, her daughter is a professor at the University of Winnipeg. Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but she works at the University of Winnipeg Collegiate in the model school. So I'd thrown it out like, hey, you know, you're really smart, Corey. You know, maybe you should try and get into like a private school for your high school career. And I just like put it out there, you know. And next thing you know, Christine, who works at the University of Winnipeg, calls me up and she's like, hey, we're having an open house. I think maybe you should bring Corey down and get her to meet all the teachers, and I can introduce her to the dean, and maybe we can see if maybe she should apply. And so they had an open house a couple of weeks ago, and I took my daughter down and we applied. Now she's got to meet the dean for an official interview. She got seven or eight different reference letters from her school on what a great student she is. And so she's going to be going to hopefully private school for her high school career. And I just know that it's because none of this stuff would be happening right now if it wasn't for me taking that plunge. And I'm so thankful to Kyra for making me do it.
For signing you up
First
unknowingly.
time. Yes. Oh, it's
Yeah.
okay. You don't need to know. You don't need to prepare. You know, you just need to pack your sleeping bags, and you just need to, you know, pack some extra clothes. And why? In Sundance, that's 4 years.
Wow, that's incredible. You have a really incredible story. And so you and I met in person. It was the Driving While Indigenous
Yes.
event. Shout out to Jill Featherstone. And that would have been 2022. So it was December 20. No, what year is it?
I think it was 22. It wasn't last year, was
22.
it? Yeah.
It was December 22. Just the things that you just shared about what you've gone through in the past few years, like no one would have known that. All I knew was you were this person who is just very like bubbly, right? And you probably get that a lot, like really bubbly, always a beautiful, genuine, and joyful smile. After seeing your post, the one that I shared earlier in our talk, I knew, okay, like Indigenous women, first of all, are so fucking strong, right? Like we grow up with this low self-esteem, like the weight that has been put on us by our history, the circumstances of the country, the conditions that we're brought up in. And there are so many women and children and, just Indigenous people in our population that haven't made it, right? There's so many issues, and I never want to say that that's not an issue. However, I believe that it's so important to really highlight and recognize the Indigenous women who are like making history, changing history, not just for themselves, for their communities, for their fucking countries, to show others who are working so hard and struggling and just trying to make it. Women who are trying to bring their kids back home from CFS, but they're lost in their identity and they're looking for strength. And that was one of the reasons I'm so thankful to have you on and to have this conversation, is because these messages of determination need to be documented. They need to be heard and shared and recognized. And it's not just inspiring, like this also, this message is another thing that's changing history and making history, because people are going to hear this message and just think I'm lost and might think that they're crazy when it's like, well, my mom says I should do this, but I'm going to follow my inner knowing. I'm going to follow what I feel in my heart right now. And I feel like I need to make this decision that's probably really scary for you, to leave a company that's all you've known, to say and recognize I'm not being treated right here. I'm important. I'm going to make a scary decision and try something new. And then surround yourself with people who want to take you to ceremony because they believe it's good for you. The fact that you were able to embrace those relationships to and trust. Sure, I'll sleep outside. I guess that's what we're doing. But all of these things had to happen in order for you to be who you are today. And that takes determination and strength and intuition. And I just want to acknowledge you for that. It's beautiful.
Thank you. It's been a struggle, but
Yeah.
I want to make sure my girls know that it's okay to step outside the box, to follow their heart. I need them to know that they have their whole life in front of them, and I don't want them to do as I say because I think I'm right. If they want to go to the Catholic Church, go to the Catholic Church. But here, I want to take you to the powwow. Here, I want to take you to your first sweat. We smudge. I don't say we smudge every day, but we definitely smudge once a week. And my little white baby, she's white. She's Indigenous, but her father is Icelandic, and she doesn't look anything like me. She's got blonde hair, green eyes, very pale. But she gets in there and she washes her hands, she cleanses her hands, and she that's just our way that we do it at the house. But I never want to discourage my children from doing what they think is right. I want to lead. I want to lead. My spirit name is Leading Golden Eagle Woman. And we actually, it was to do with work. I went to what was it? Manitowabi. I went and met with Lisa Meeches, and I sat around one of their meetings and I listened to them. And I don't know, even I don't know, was it for one of the meetings? She invited me to sit around the table and they were discussing Manitowabi. I don't know why I got invited. I have no idea why I was there, but Creator sent me there. I know he sent me there because Lisa said, we're going to the Petroforms. We're going to go get our spirit names. So I don't know why she told me this, but I was like, can I come? Can I come along? So Lisa Meeches let me come along, and we went out to the Petroforms, and I brought my girls with me. And I think that's the first time I wore a ribbon skirt. We did a pipe ceremony, and I said, well, we're here for our spirit names. So we got our spirit names. The elder was Colin Musto from Ebb and Flow First Nation, I think. And he gave us our spirit name. So I'm Leading Golden Eagle Woman. My oldest daughter is Strong Golden Eagle Woman. And my youngest daughter, her name is Circling Golden Eagle Girl. So we got our spirit names, we got our colors. It was amazing that I was actually invited to something like that. And I was in the grand entry for Manitowabi, the powwow. So it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. I don't know why I was involved, but I was, and it was
You're
awesome.
just meant to be there. Just meant to be there. Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you for being so open and for sharing all of that with me. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
And so if anyone wants to send you a message, they can send you an email.
Yes, you have my email address. It's mwalterson14@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I love communicating with people. I love just being out there and being vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
If you want to get your story out, be open to helping other people be vulnerable. I've been a victim to that more than I like, but it is what it is. And that's why I am the person I am, is because I'm open. And
Yeah, anything else that you'd like to share?
nope, I think that's about it. I'm
Okay.
just in a happy place right now, and I look forward to the next 40, 50 years of my life, see what else I can accomplish. When we won the lawsuit against the Canadian government, the government of Canada, when we walked out of the Supreme Court of Canada, I was kind of scared. I was scared that Creator was going to take me, because I was like, I just won, along with my team, $43.4 billion. I pray to Creator that that's not what he brought me here for. Let me go on to do bigger and better things. Let's not be like what I came here for, you know? And I was really
Wow.
scared. I was like, I have done this. Now what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do now? But I got two
Yeah.
girls that I get through school, so.
The
But
battle
thank you so much for inviting me on your podcast and letting me share my story, a bit of it. My next thing to do is to write a book.
Thanks so much for being here and listening to the podcast. Miigwech, ekwese, merci. I want to take every opportunity that I can to tell you that you are worthy. And if something in this message resonated with you, please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And send a link to your sister, your best friends, and your cousins, because if there was something in this message that resonated, then they might want to hear about it too. If maybe taking a screenshot is your thing, share it on your Instagram story, and don't forget to tag me at jessicadumas.ca.